Audio Service, National Radio Club.
Welcome to the National Radio Club's DX Audio Service for April 2004. This is issue number 229, and I'm your host, Fred Vobey, the publisher of the DX Audio Service. My address is 706 McKenzie Drive, Lima, Ohio, 45805-1835. Telephone number 419-228-6223. If you live in the United States of America or Canada and would like to become a member of the DX Audio Service, the cost of a subscription is $28. To Europe and elsewhere, it's $40. Those prices are also the renewal rates. Tapes are sent via first-class mail, and you get to keep the cassettes. If you'd like to subscribe, make a check payable to the National Radio Club Incorporated and send them to me at the address that I just mentioned, or just log on to our website at www.nrcdxas.org/member and sign up using our PayPal credit card system. Well, as this is our anniversary edition, what is it, 19 years or so? I guess you're going to be looking forward to some interesting stuff on this edition of the DX Audio Service. But right now, let's fly on down to Dallas, Texas. Here's Bill Hale.
AM switch for the DX Audio Service for April 2004. First of all, call letter changes on 540, a new station in Jaffrey, New Hampshire, has taken the calls of WXNH. On 700, KMJY in Newport, Washington, their new calls are KXLX along with a new city of license as Airway Heights. Also on 700, KXXT, a new station yet to be on the air, Wiley, Texas, has taken the calls of KCAF. A new station on 830 in Sandy Springs, Georgia, has taken the calls of WFGM. On 850, WLYE in Johnstown, Pennsylvania, their new calls are WNTJ. In Jacksonville, North Carolina, on 910, WSRP has changed their calls to WSTK. Also on 910 in Marietta, Ohio, WBRJ, their new calls are WLTP. 980, WLUS in Gainesville, Florida, their new calls are WDVH. On 990, Somerset, Pennsylvania, WVSC has taken the calls of WNTW, along with their new slogan of News Talk 990. Also on 990, KCAF in Farmersville, Texas, has taken the calls of KMSR, and they call themselves Main Street Radio. WKIM in 1230 in Augusta, Georgia, their new calls are WNRR. Also on 1230 in Gallup, New Mexico, KTHR, their new calls, KYVA. WAMS 1260 in Newark, Delaware, has changed their calls to WNWK. KCMJ in Thousand Palms, California on 1270 has taken the calls of KNWU. Also on 1270, WMLF in Columbus, Georgia has changed their calls to WSHE. 1270, KESS in Fort Worth, Texas, their new calls are KFLC. 1340, KRNX in Victoria, Texas, changed their calls to KVNN. WLTP 1450 in Parkersburg, West Virginia has taken the new calls of WHNK. 1490 WNTJ in Johnstown, Pennsylvania has taken the calls of WSPO along with ESPN Radio 1490 as a new slogan. WHRD 1470 in Huntington, West Virginia, their new calls are WEMM. WPTR in Albany, New York has changed their calls to WDCD. They're on 1540, and they've returned to those calls after 6 years as an oldies station. Before that, it was WDCD as a religious station from 95 to 98, and before that, it was WPTR for 4 decades as a rock station. Now they're back with religious programming. On 1570, WBUG in Amsterdam, New York has changed to WVTL. KBOR in Brownsville, Texas has taken the calls of KQXX. They're on 1600. 1640 KMMZ in Enid, Oklahoma. Their new calls are KFNY. I guess FNY is funny because they've got a comedy format. And finally, 1700 KQXX in Brownsville, Texas. Their new calls are KVNS. Grants for new stations on 540. Pine Bluffs, Wyoming will be getting a new station, 900 watts during the day, 700 watts at night with 2 patterns. Pine Bluffs is on I-80 just inside the Wyoming-Nebraska state line. On 740, Redmond, Washington will see a new station shortly. They've applied and been granted 50,000 watts during the day, 4,500 watts directional at night from a new 4-tower array. and on 1100 in Dilworth, Minnesota. 50,000 watts during the day, 1,000 watts directional at night, plus 4,400 watts during critical hours. Dilworth is about 3 miles inside the Minnesota-North Dakota state line, just east of Fargo. CP's on the air during the past month. WFRB in Frostburg, Maryland is now on with 5,000 watts during the day, 55 watts at night, non-directional. WRMS 790 in Beardstown, Illinois is now on with 500 watts daytime, 59 watts night, two different patterns. 810 KSWV in Santa Fe, New Mexico is now on with 5,000 during the day, 10 watts at night, all non-directional. On 850, a new station from Carrollton, Texas, KJON, they've moved down from Anadarko, Oklahoma. They've been heard testing during the past month. Their 5,000-watt daytime-only signal is directed toward the northeast. WFIA 900 in Louisville, Kentucky is now on with 1,000 watts during the day, 164 watts at night, all non-directional. 1080 KNDK Langdon, North Dakota is now on with 1,000 watts during the day, 45 watts at night, non-directional. 1090 WFCV in Fort Wayne, Indiana is now on using two patterns, one for their new 2,500 watts daytime signal and the other for 1,000 watts during critical hours. A new station on 1160, actually it's a move from 1150, WMET in Gaithersburg, Maryland, is now on with 50,000 watts during the day, 1,500 watts at night, using two patterns, both of which are oriented toward the southeast. 1210 WNMA in Miami Springs, Florida, is now on with 47,000 watts during the day, 2,500 watts at night, using two patterns. 1270 KSCB, Liberal, Kansas, is now on with reduced nighttime power of 25 watts to go along with their 5,000-watt daytime signal. They're all non-directional. 1280 WBZY, Newcastle, Pennsylvania, is now on with 4,900 watts during the day, 1,000 watts at night, directional at night only. WQBN 1300 in Temple Terrace, Florida, new facilities include an adjustment of their day pattern, a reduction in the nighttime power, and a relocation of the transmitter site for their 5,000-watt directional signal during the day, 160 watts at night, non-directional. KCOH 1430 in Houston, Texas, is now on with 5,000 watts during the day, 1,000 watts at night, using two patterns. WWZN in Boston, Massachusetts, on 1510 is now on with a slightly altered daytime pattern and a critical hours operation. The new facilities are 50,000 watts around the clock, but they use three different patterns. And 1570 CFAV in Laval, Quebec is now on with regular programming. It's a mix of English and French standards from the 40s, 50s, and 60s. Their facilities are 10,000 watts day and night using the same pattern. Grants to existing facilities, KSUD 730 in West Memphis, Arkansas, has been granted 1,000 watts day and night from a new four-tower site. They'll be using two different patterns. 1010 KIQN Tooele, Utah, that grant covers an increase in nighttime and critical hour power levels. When built, they'll be 50,000 watts during the day non-directional, 132 watts at night directional, and 30,000 watts during critical hours using another pattern. They're to construct two new towers at a new site. The license is also modified to state they are a non-commercial station. 1130 WQFX Gulfport, Mississippi is granted a CP to increase their power to become 1,000 watts during the day. Non-directional, they're a daytime-only station. 1400 KLIN Lincoln, Nebraska, they'll be increasing the power to become 1,000 watts day and night, non-directional. And WJKN Jackson, Michigan on 1510, they've been granted a decrease in day power and an addition of critical hours operation from a new three-tower site. When built, they'll become 3,000 watts during the day, 3,000 watts during critical hours using two patterns. They essentially remain a daytimer. Some odds and ends from here and there. Stations reported to be silent over the past month. WKJN Carbondale, Pennsylvania on 1440 and WAZL 1490 in Hazleton, Pennsylvania are both off pending overhauls by their new owners. And WNWK 1260 in Dover, Delaware. Also, WGIV in Charlotte, North Carolina has moved its programming to WFNA 1660, so they're off on 1600 now. Returning to the airways, WDTM Selmer, Tennessee is reported to be back on the air with a sports format and ESPN network. WYNI 930 Monroeville, Alabama is back with a talk format. And it seems KIIS 850 Thousand Oaks, California is operating at a reduced power level under a special temporary authority. Where they are operating from is the big question, as their entire facilities, including a four-tower array, have been bulldozed. And one more on the air in Bithlow, Florida, WNFT 1580, they're back on with a Spanish format, and they no longer simulcast WPGS 840. And finally, the FCC has fined KFNZ 1100 Cave Creek, Arizona, the sum of $4,000 for failing to switch from their daytime power of 50,000 watts to their nighttime antenna pattern and power of 1,000 watts. Well, that wraps up AM Switch for this month. We now take you down to sunny Florida, and here's John Bowker.
National Radio Club.
Well, thanks once again, Bill Hale, and hello, everybody. So today, Fred, you start the 20th year of the DX Audio Service. What a remarkable achievement. All the kudos that have been properly heaped on you for your extraordinary effort each and every month. I am so privileged to have met you during my working days with NBC, and lucky that we ever hitched up in the first place, I guess. You know, I was looking back at some of the very earliest tapes, the very first audio service that you and Bob Walker produced, Fred, up in Westland, Michigan. Oh, dear, what a great job you did on that story about WLS. It lasted 30 minutes, an entire side of the C60 tapes that you were using in those days. And we loved what we heard, and therefore, one by one, the rest of us came on board once we learned what it was all about. I can only imagine the patience of your wife, Debbie, and Connie and Jonathan, too, to have made possible for you all those lonely hours away from them in your various studios in Michigan and in Lima, of course. Hey, congratulations on a job well done. We all enjoy it. This is the Travelogue, where I get to play some recordings for you made over the past 30 years, more or less. These station breaks are all at selected dial positions, and with any luck, we'll finish the 850 dial position today. And by the way, nearly a third of the recordings that you hear every month have been contributed by listeners to the audio service Travelogues over the years. And that reminds me, I want to thank Wayne Heinen for sending me a cassette this month of KFLJ. Look that one up in your Funk and Wagnalls. Yeah, it was in Walsenburg, Colorado, recorded back at for the NRC convention in Colorado Springs. That takes you back. Oh, and then there was a knock at the door, and Ernie Wesolowski, was there with George Sherman, and he brought a remarkable collection of recordings from over 30 years ago, some of them. And, gee, Jerry Starr, what a pleasure and delight that he showed up with his charming wife. We spent a whole day together. It was wonderful. You can always tell when the weather is rotten up north, Fred, because people come here to Florida to sort of warm up. Oh, well. Now, last month I mentioned that we had taken a trip in early February through the bottom part of Florida, and we had found another station down that way that kind of bothered us a little bit. I wasn't sure the announcer knew quite what to do when handed a sheet with two sets of call letters on it. And no, there's no FM and no X-band station to complicate things. Here's how it came across on the air.
This is WZTK Arcadia. CBS News is up next right here on your home for Rush Limbaugh Afternoons, WFLN News Radio 1480.
So what's that? I don't know what to make of it. Well, okay. Today we're going to finish up our tour of the U.S. with our dials locked at Clear Channel 850. What do you say we cross to the west side of the Mississippi River to start the April 2004 DX Audio Service Travelogue?
Take what you want. We'll make more.
Today's Kristen Hicks, KWOF Waterloo. KTOS Cedar Rapids.
Now that's an ID that Scott Feibusch picked up from this 500-watt station for us. And I wonder if you're as familiar with the western geography as I wasn't when I was growing up. The western shore of the Mississippi River, Iowa is the second state down, Minnesota being the first. And where is Waterloo? It's about 90 miles in from the river, just west of the Mississippi River. But then you might ask, where is Clayton, Missouri?
Live Radio News. I'm Jeff Young.
Okay, Jeff. Well, now, Clayton, it turns out, is located just about 3 miles from the western city limits of St. Louis, and running 5,000 watts as they do, their signal does a fine job throughout the entire St. Louis landscape. Oh, and Missouri? It's the third state from the north along the western banks of the Mississippi. So let's go south again. What do we hear from Benton, Arkansas at 850, you cry? Well, frankly, we don't hear anything because this next station went off the air in 1997.
For the best in country music is KGKO AM, KAKI-FM in Benton, Arkansas.
And that completes our tour down the west side of the Mississippi River. So we get to the Gulf Coast, turn west, and there's Houston, Texas.
El país, KEYH, 850 AM, Houston, Texas.
Aeronaves con incendios reiniciaron su lucha contra un siniestro que ha permanecido sin control durante más de 20 horas.
Okay, you know, that's 10,000 watt KEYH, but they cut back to 180 watts at night, and I just don't see how there's any way for them to cover the Houston market with that kind of power after dark. In fact, you know, if one were to drive to the north, just out of Houston a few miles, I'll bet KOA would be the dominant signal even that far to the south and east at night. You know, and yet, station assignments can fool you. If we travel from Houston in a straight line toward Denver for about 450 miles out of Houston, we come to an outskirt of Oklahoma City. And here's what we hear with our daytime radios tuned to 850.
Farmers Electric Cooperative reminds you electricity is there as we enter the 21st century. This is KRPT, KRPT-FM, Anadarko, Chickasha, Lawton.
ABC News sponsored by Brown Ford Mercury and Cordell.
Okay, you know, they're running 500 watts daytime with a directional antenna there in Anadarko. But everything we've heard today, however, leads us to this next station that first came on the air in 1924. And I'm just going to let some IDs run for you here.
50,000-watt voice of the Rocky Mountain West and beyond. News Radio 85, KOA Denver, presents Raleigh James and you.
KOA Denver now with a salute to our distaff desk jockeys downstairs who have the day off today, and rightfully so, the Statler brothers.
That was 1973.
The 49ers are down to their last 6 minutes of their season. Let's pause 10 seconds for stations to identify themselves on the CBS radio network.
KOA's computerized storm center lists more than 400 schools and businesses, so when the snow flies, turn the dial to 85 exclusively on News Radio 85, KOA Denver.
Here is the kick.
Mark Stricker got us that in the middle 1980s.
This is a 50,000 watt mother of the West. News Radio 850 KOA Denver.
60 degrees in Denver from Colorado's 24-hour newsroom. This is Susan Heath. It's 9:01 at News Radio 850 KOA.
Well, we could probably stay in Denver the entire travelogue program, but we got to move out into the Golden State because we have a bunch of IDs from Thousand Oaks, California, a modest community about 15 miles from Los Angeles, and we made this first recording in 1975.
Thousand Oaks Toyota, 2401 Thousand Oaks Boulevard, Thousand Oaks.
And KGOE Thousand Oaks in the Palm Plaza Shopping Village. It's precisely 8 o'clock.
We were back in town in 1990 to pick up this next item.
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.
It's 11 o'clock from the Palm Plaza Shopping Center. You're listening to the one and only
Comedy Radio, KMGY.
Robin Williams.
Okay, Robin Williams, but Mark Strickert sent us a recording in the late 1990s. You have to kind of listen closely for all the stuff buried in this group ID.
500. 714-748-0500. Clipper Basketball. Get into this game.
Light 92.7 is KLIT Avalon, KMLT, KAHS Thousand Oaks, KELT Riverside.
Yeah, that's kind of a tough one. We were listening for KAHS in that one. And finally, about 3 years ago, we got this ID.
Any publication, rebroadcast, retransmission, or other use of the sounds, description, and accounts of this game without the express written consent of the Los Angeles Dodgers Incorporated is prohibited.
KLYF Thousand Oaks.
We pause for station identification on Extra Sports AM 1150 and the Los Angeles Dodgers Radio Network.
te escucha. KDIF en Deportes. KDIF.
Well, that's kind of an interesting byplay, isn't it? Would you believe it? They have a new set of calls today. Oh, well. We're going to head about 200 miles north of the California border at this point into Oregon to Waldport, right on the Pacific Ocean.
This is AM 850, KORC, Waldport, Oregon.
Democrats extend their lead. I'm Michael McGee on the Satellite News Network.
Oh, I'm sorry we weren't closer to Waldport when they gave that ID, but that was 12 years ago in our motorhome, so be it. Maybe next time. Well, we're going to head now for the Capital District of Washington State.
It's 9 o'clock at KEAC Tacoma. Time for an hour of classics on the 33rd evening of the 85-day summer. Giving away a vacation for your family worth over $6,000.
And we have Mark Strickert to thank for that ID recording from 1967. And we're happy to have an update from 1992 in Tacoma.
MTT, AM and FM Tacoma, Seattle is the mountain. Rock without the hard edge.
Here I stand, head in hand, turn my face to the wall.
And to bring us up to date in Tacoma, our new friend Pete Taylor sent us this next recording just 2 years ago.
The National Golf Club has the same goals.
Find your game.
Because draws and gas aren't going to bother looking for it.
You know, the best thing about it is we don't have to work.
From Sports Radio 950 and 850.
You're nice to management to give us the deal.
KJRAM.
Management's going to be out there drinking and playing. What are you talking about?
When you want sports, you turn to the only sports station in town.
Sports Radio.
Sports Radio 950 and 850. KJRAM Seattle and KHHO Tacoma.
Hey, what are you doing here?
I'm out shopping around, checking out prices.
Me too.
We were listening for KHHO in Tacoma and that set of IDs, so thanks again, Pete. Now, how many of you remember back to the Milwaukee National Radio Club Convention, what, a decade ago or so? There was a young man there named Werner Reutsch. He'd come over from Switzerland to attend the convention, and he endeared himself to all of us, I think, and sent in some tapes of stations that probably none of us would have heard. This from the 1980s is one of them.
From KICY Nome, live via satellite, the news is next.
If you're in Western Alaska, you're in KICY country.
We conclude our tour of this wonder-filled country with a stop on the Big Island of Hawaii.
It's Hawaii Printing Corporation at 714 Kanoʻalehua Avenue, where you can get your copies for as low as 7 cents apiece. This is Radio 85, KHLO Hilo.
Oh, hey, Fred, another minute, if you will. Audio service subscriber Adam Bouvier sent us some terrific recordings a few years back. This is the station at 850 on the dial in Athabasca, Alberta.
Spread the word. Get your celebration on the party line on 850 CKBA.
Serving Athabasca, Grassland, and Boyle. This is 850 CKBA.
And to conclude this list of stations at 850 on the dial is a recording I made in 1970 of a station right near my Vermont home at the time. This station is in Verdun, province of Quebec, an immediate suburb of Montreal. Only they don't own up to it.
Vous écoutez CKVL 85, la radio de votre été. Vous écoutez les après-midi country avec André Sylvain.
CKVL Verdun. Well, this next month, we'll be taking the plunge into the 860 dial position. And remember, though, I can't do this travelogue all by myself, because every time Bill Hale comes up with a change of call sign for some station, it means work for us. It means the travelogue collection is out of date in that particular community. Now, my mailing address is John Bowker, B-O-W-K-E-R, P.O. Box 5192, Sun City Center, Florida, 33571-5192. I sure look forward to hearing from you, and of course, we are all looking forward to hearing from Mark Durenberger. So long for now.
Well, thank you, Mr. Balker, sir. Mark Dernberger for the DX Audio Service. And we're on the road again, back at the Wisconsin home of our friend Mike DeRoe, noted broadcast technologist. When last we chatted with Mike, he told us of his plans for an accessible shortwave broadcast operation and how zoning authorities turned that dream to ashes. In these next two columns, we're going to chat with Mike about DXing, and then we'll share some of his experiences on the road as he visited many of America's heritage broadcast giants. Mike, your DX career began a long time ago. When would that have been exactly?
This would have been in the 50s. I slept in school. I'd sleep in school because I'd stay up all night. I had a 49 Ford 8-tube. It was a Zenith-built car radio, and it was just a marvelous-sounding radio, and it was a just nuts. I mean, you know, the gain on those car radios just on a, you know, 35-inch piece of wire, let alone if you hang something out in the backyard. And I'd listen to Atlanta, and I'd find stations. I remember one in Roseburg, Oregon, signing on and testing. And I'll have to get a yearbook out, look out, and see what year that was that they signed on.
Well, you mentioned Atlanta. What about farther east, north, toward, could you get the New York stations in L.A.? Probably not.
Yeah, oh yeah,
really?
Sure. Especially when they signed on in the morning. That's when they used to sign off at night. Most of them did. Some of them, the 50s, the Class 1As stayed on. KFI had a very romantic sign-off. You know, they would actually sign it off and then just a few seconds later have a rooster crow and sign on again. And so they ran 24 hours a day with exception of Sunday. Then they'd sign off for a few hours. And
to change tubes.
Yeah, and do their maintenance. But I think all the 50s, I think I picked up just about all of them. And, of course, WLS in L.A. was no problem during the winter.
Chicago?
Yeah, Chicago. Yeah. As soon as the sun went down, I'd be listening to Dick Biondi in the 60s, you know, in the car.
The screamer.
Yeah.
It was so romantic to be driving down the highway and listening to this and knowing there was a sort of a kinship between you and all the other guys on the road, the truckers, for example.
Yeah.
You know, all the way across the country listening to the same sound. It might have been coming from the music station of the South or,
you know, Mark,
1090 or...
Radio in the 60s was really great. You couldn't back out of your driveway without the car radio coming on because you might miss something. It was still very competitive, creative. It was trying, experimenting, doing all kinds of crazy things. And you could feel the flavor when you listened to Atlanta. It definitely was the South. You've wanted to visit those areas, and you know I could have lived at a different era. I could have met 20 years earlier. I think would have been great.
And you and I would have met back then. It would have been. I mean, we would have. We both, because I feel the same way. 20 years younger. 20 years just.
Stations,
I was born a little bit too late for this.
Yeah, stations had orchestras.
Yeah.
It was great. I mean, it was really a treat to go to WLS. And this was in the, I guess, about the mid-70s, and Don Emile was the chief engineer, anyhow, to watch the board operator. And they had platter spinners, and this was left over from the musicians' union that, since they went rock and roll and had no longer a live orchestra, some of the musicians become the guys who would actually cue up the record and hold it until the jock threw his hand in the air. The musician would let go of the record, and the board operator would turn up the knob to bring that turntable up.
And you forgot one person. The producer.
There were four people involved.
Yep. I remember that at WGN seeing that, and I thought, well, why is there an... then I realized Musicians Union has a guy playing the music, creating the music. The producer's telling him when to do it, watching the cue from the announcer or reading his copy. The engineer's turning up the fader. And then there's another engineer at the transmitter, or two, perhaps.
Yep.
And maybe an air control guy, you know, riding herd on all the studios.
Yeah, another room, right.
And about three maintenance people.
Well, and you think about what happened to radio back in those days, even at some of the smaller stations, and especially in California, around the L.A. area, even on daytimers, you had board operators. That's somebody running the console and queuing things for the disc jockey. That disc jockey looks at that engineer and and works off of him.
Mm-hmm.
And it keeps him alive. When they did away with the engineer, now you have this jock in a room by himself with the microphone. It really lost the timbre. When we got into talk radio, you had a producer. You had to have somebody answer the phone. There's the person that the guy can work off. I think that's a great reason why that started working. It was the feel of it. Not that we needed necessarily not to have music. It's just that the timbre, it felt better.
To be able to work off someone who is tuned into what you're doing.
It goes on the air. Hear it on the air. And so that's what I miss as radio progressed on. It just got to be more hits and, little cards to read. WLS was so big, and you knew when you saw it, now you understood why the guys sounded so great, all of them, because they're working off another human being.
And also because they were able to focus on one thing, what was going to come out of their mouth.
Yeah.
And not worry about queuing up a disc or, transmitter over-modulating.
But everybody is staring at that guy because he's going to throw a cue. And here again is that tension that makes it work. This is what we saw when we were looking at the video, that the cameras are rolling and somebody is really performing great. This person can't make the mistake and louse him up, because you got to go back to the top again and something's lost. It can't. So everybody is forced to really work, and that's what we were hearing on the WLSs.
And that's what you hear today at, I dare say, the Grand Ole Opry. Because the best entertainers cross that stage and they get one shot at it. And they're going to make it, and nobody is going to do it. No one's going to play a clam. Everybody's going to be on.
You feel it.
Boy, does that energy come
through.
You came out of the recording studio business, I think. Both a hobby and a passion for you.
Yeah, I love the recording, and I came up with the processing idea from recording, but always, as a little pirate broadcaster and all of that stuff in those early days.
You had your own FM station, did you?
I had my own AM. Uh-huh. And do you know, I even have, and I wonder if I could put my fingers on, I got to know one of the promotional gals at Capitol, and I'd get mailed to, and our call was KBRK, which actually was a station, I think, in South Dakota, but we were KBRK
Brookings, probably.
Yeah. Bell Fooch or something.
Yeah, I'll be darned. You had it on the, what did you use for an antenna for your pirate
just
AM
a long
station?
Wire. Out just the back a center door. Fed long wire.
This was in where?
This was in Burbank.
In Burbank.
This would be in the early 60s, and it was at 900, and as soon as Loco 900 would sign off, we'd sign on. It was a Mexican Clear. And, I'll have to tell you, we covered, but I won't say how much space.
Did you get shut down, or did
never,
you?
Never got caught, because we never did anything stupid. It was just a nice radio station. Do you remember there was a comedian named Murray Langston? He was a Canadian boy. He used to put the bag over his head. He was the unknown comedian. He was one of our guys.
Oh, my.
One of our jocks. And
What did you program?
It was all kinds. It was a little bit of pop rock. It was like what radio was in the early 60s. You could play anything. It was a lot of fun.
Live music?
No, it was all records. And we made our own promos and all of that. Les Biko, who was an announcer at KFWB, made some great promos for us. And everybody knew that we had this thing. It was harmless and, just a fun thing.
You weren't
stepping
on anybody.
No.
Yeah.
And the guys,
I bet it sounded good.
It did. It really did sound great. And here again was using parallel processing with equalizers.
You should explain that, because most of our listeners are non-technical. What was the breakthrough that you came up with?
If you just think about the physics of sound, your woofer is 15 inches and the tweeter is only 2 inches, and yet they're equal in power. And I guess the best way to explain it, if we were to have three musicians in this room and we wanted to set up an acoustical mix, we would put the low frequency as close to us as possible, like the bass player. The pianist would maybe be 10 feet away, and the tambourine player would be possibly into another room. Not talking about the sound or echoes, just talking about the amplitude, that to make them all equal in loudness, that's the distance it would take. And it's because if you look at a piece of time, the higher frequencies have more cycles, so that's more density, so there's more in time than there is, say, with a low frequency where you have just a few cycles, and so your ear demands more amplitude to hear those few cycles. And realizing that a limiter is just an AC voltage regulator, and since the greatest swing or amplitudes was the low frequency, so it would feel equal to us, it was unequal as it's recorded. And a limiter would see that low frequency and compress everything else down.
Because everything was coming into it at the same level. So the effect that our listeners would have heard on those old processors was
a pumping
sound. Whenever the bass note hit, it would push everything down, not just the bass.
And it would fade back up, and you'd hear this remixing
kind of
effect.
A sucking sound. Right. So you've developed this device, which was called the DAP
310.
310 was the first
discriminant
one.
Discriminant audio processor.
And you have one of the, and you build them in California.
Started on the kitchen table with my two oldest daughters and Kay and I, and we built them, and I'd put them in the car and puppy dog sale. Just go out and say, please try this box, mister, please.
And what happened?
It was slow the first year, a little tough. But finally, Drake Chenault station was kind of curious, and they put one on.
And those are famous call letters, by the way.
Yeah, you know, this.
Or was this not in LA?
It wasn't Kay's. It was his home station up in Fresno, Kino, K-Y-N-O. Or is it K-I-N-O? Gosh, anyhow, Kino. Anything Kino did, you know, it seemed like 3,000 other stations did. And when they bought the DAP, they bought two of main and backup, and suddenly it just went sky high. We were building well over 100 units a month, and we found another fellow that always wanted to be a manufacturer, and he took on the manufacturing. And I went on the road plugging them in and trying to educate engineers, because the thing was not electrically flat, and I had to educate them to what we were doing to the audio so they'd understand it.
So now this led you to through the front door of some very big radio
big
stations.
Yeah. The big ones were always fascinating, the KFIs, the WGNs.
Let's take KFI, since it's the big West Coast station.
This was a very fascinating station. It was owned by a fellow named Earl C. Anthony, who was the guy who invented the gas pump, and he became a Packard distributor in Los Angeles, and above his showroom, he had his original KFI transmitters, which were landmark towers in downtown L.A. until
on top of buildings.
On top of the buildings.
And they had a wire stretched between them?
And the center-fed system. And then they went 50 kilowatt in 1931 out in Anaheim. And to go out and see the original building, now, by the time I was on the road, the original transmitter was gone, but there was an early 60s Continental. But to see where the generators were sat that operated the high voltage and the feed lines to the tower. And here again, these buildings were built so beautifully. Art Deco and the transmitters were set up with little beautiful fencing and such, because they would bring tours through to see the transmitter. Usually students, schools would come. And the transmitters were manned, and usually two men all the way around the clock at all times. And this was the case of KFI up until about the 70s.
Many a young person's passion for broadcasting was ignited by one of those tours.
When I was a very young fellow in San Francisco, we lived in what they called Candlestick Cove, which was, coming from the poor side of the tracks. Daddy was just an iron worker and worked at the shipyards. Up above these I like to call them project houses. There's a hill, and that was KYA. And I couldn't have been but four or five, and I was able to see right through the door and look at a Western Electric. You'll find out later what it is, and see the mercury vapors and watch those things oscillating.
Glowing in the dark.
Glowing. And the gas in these mercury vapors is a beautiful shade of purplish blue, a puce or whatever, and it's moving and expanding and jumping, and that's
with the voice.
That's the modulation, and I became fascinated in radio, and I'd go to the after school, even as a very young person, finding radios. You know, once you see that, it affects you, and that's the tragedy today, Mark. That the transmitter sites aren't too inspired. They're usually just buildings in a box, and there's an antenna, and there's some wire and some, you know, that type of plumbing, but it isn't as fascinating to me.
Well, they weren't always boxes, I guess. Some of them had and may still have a certain charm. Let's explore some of those transmitter sites next month when we return.
Okay.
Mark Dernberger, proud to be a part of the DX Audio Service. We take mail at the NRC address in Lima that Fred has mentioned. I can also see email addressed to mark4@durenberger.com, spelled D-U-R-E-N-B-E-R-G-E-R. And as we make way for the rest of our motley crew of editors this month, I want to once again commend Bill for the great work he's doing with the AM switch. I always learn something new from his occasional added comments. Well, we'll see you in 30 days with the last installment of our Mike Durow interviews. And until then, good listening, DXers.
National Radio Club.
We all have feelings, pro or con, about radio consolidation. This April 1st, we'll start a new benchmark in consolidation when Clear Frequency Media will buy shortwave utility radio station WWV. Just about everyone who has owned a shortwave radio has heard WWV, excuse the pun, one time or another, operating on 5, 10, 15, or 20 megahertz. Clear Frequency Media has been operating the station as an LMA since January 1st. Here's what the station sounds like.
WWV, all the time. Same time, same station, every time, WWV. 1, 2, 3, 4, every second counts at WWV. For a good time, call 555-4-WWV. WWV, for the time of your life. We'll be back with the time on WWV in just a minute. But first, here's another minute.
Remember, Clear Frequency Media will take ownership of this station on April 1st, a date which kind of goes down in history as being a date when a lot of strange things happen in radio.
Hello again, DXers. Ken Honest Chuck here in southwest suburban Chicagoland. Here is the Major League Baseball 2004 radio lineups, as I found out. In the National League, the Arizona Diamondbacks out of Phoenix on 620 KTAR. Greg Schulte, Jeff Mercer, and Tom Brenneman. Conflicts with the NBA Suns. The Diamondbacks go to 860 KMVP. Atlanta Braves, 750 WSB. With the usual Carey, Van Wieren, Simpson, and Sutton bunch. Chicago Cubs, 720 WGN with Pat Hughes and Ron Santo. The Cincinnati Reds on 700 WLW as Joe Nuxhall, last year retiring at 75, joined by Marty Brenneman and Steve Stewart from Baltimore. The Colorado Rockies out of Denver on 850 KOA with Joe Corrigan and Jeff Kingery. The Florida Marlins, the world champs out of Miami. Hello there, Mike Lance and Jerry and Mr. Finney down there. 560 WQAM and 1140 WQBA. Broadcasters Dave Van Horn and Joe Boogskiambi. Houston Astros, 740 KTRH in English. Milo Hamilton and Alan Ashby, it appears. Los Angeles Dodgers in English, 980 KFWB, with the trio of Scully, Porter, and Monday. Spanish, 1330 KWKW. Milwaukee Brewers, 620, Hall of Famer Bob Uecker, plus Jim Powell there. The Montreal Expos are the only team to go to FM, like many of the other Canadians are doing. 98.5 CKOO out of suburban Longueuil, with Jacques Doucette and Mark Griffin. No English known yet. The New York Mets on 660 in English. WFAN, Gary Cohen, Ed Coleman, Ted Robinson, Spanish, 1280 WADO, probably just home games. The Philadelphia Phillies last year, contract, 950 WPEN, with the Quartet, that's right, Quartet, Harry Callis, Chris Wheeler, Larry Anderson, Scott Graham. The Pittsburgh Pirates, 1020 KDKA, with the duo, of Lanny Frattari and Steve Blass. San Diego Padres have gone to Mexico for their station this year. 1090 XPRS out of Tijuana, Jerry Coleman and Ted Leitner. San Francisco Giants on 680 KNBR. Dave Fleming joins their crowded booth. Spanish 1370 KZSF. St. Louis Cardinals 1120 KMOX with Mike Shannon and Wayne Hagen. American League, Anaheim Angels on 710 KSPN with Rory Marcus and Terry Smith. The Baltimore Orioles on 1090 WBAL with Joe Angel, Jim Hunter, and Fred Manfra. Boston Red Sox, 850 WEEI, Joe Castiglione, Jerry Trupiano. Chicago White Sox on ESPN Flagship, 1000 WMVP, John Rooney and Ed Farmer. Cleveland Indians on 1100 WTAM, Tom Hamilton and Mike Egan. Detroit Tigers, 1270 WXYT, Dan Dickerson, Jim Price. Kansas City Royals have moved to 810 WHB with Denny Matthews and Ryan Lefevre. The Minnesota Twins on 830 WCCO, John Gordon and Dan Gladden. New York Yankees on 880 WCBS, John Sterling and Charlie Steiner. Oakland A's on 610 KFRC, Bill King, Ken Korak, and Ray Fossey. Seattle Mariners on 1000 KOMO, Dave Niehaus, Rick Riz, and Ron Fairley. Tampa Bay Devil Rays, most likely in WFLA, but one thing told me, site, it was on 620 DAE. I'll probably get an update. Paul Olden and Charlie Slows, I believe, down there. The Texas Rangers at our last convention. And Irving on 1080 KRLD, Eric Nadel and Victor Rojas, Spanish 1270 KFLC, Alino Orinas and Jose Guzman. Toronto 590 CKEY, The Fan, Tom Cheek and Jerry Howarth. Give me a ring for all corrections. The last caller from New York I had was accidentally erased. Apologies to him. 815-774-0184. Answering machine works great. Love to hear from you. And I'll bring you more information last month. And good DX. Take her away, Fred.
Thanks, Ken. And before we flip over to side two for more of the DX audio service, let's check the CPC test calendar. We have one test to report, and that is on April 1st, which is a Thursday. WTBQ 1110 in Warwick, New York, will conduct a DX test from 5:15 to 6 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. This test will feature novelty music and Morse code IDs. Reception reports may be sent to Mr. Rob McLean, MC capital LEAN, Program Director, WTBQ AM, 62 North Main Street in Florida. That's FLORIDA, New York, 10921. You can also check out their website, by the way, at www.wtbq.com. And this test has been arranged by Rob McLean of WTBQ for the CPC. Now, let's flip over to side two for more of the DX audio service for April 2004.
I'd like to say something.
I'd like to sing a little tribute to, wait a second here, to the radio station that had planned this whole afternoon, KFWB. We'd like to say it like this.
Just remember.
KFWB, Channel 90.